Israel resumed its bombing of Gaza this week, more than 500 Palestinians have been killed in these airstrikes so far. And last night, Prime Minister Netanyahu's government confirmed the sacking of Israel's intelligence chief, Ronen Bar, a move that could end up into the Supreme Court. Thousands of Israelis have taken to the streets in protest. Eli Avidor was one of them. He told us why.
The first thing people want is the hostages back. Israel left these people, civilians, left them unprotected completely. Instead of going into a negotiation, into phase B, Israel is going and trying to occupy Gaza and who knows what else they plan this extreme government that has nothing to do with releasing the hostages. It seems for the government, it's just 7 more people, 50, 60 more people that are not important enough for us, and every person has to be back. If we are not bringing these people back, we lose our trust in our country. So people feel that the war should stop. They should stop this new action of going into Gaza. So one more war will not help. We need to stop. We need to talk. We need to negotiate. And hopefully to finish with this conflict, not only in Gaza, but in the West Bank as well.
Eli Avidor, one of those protesting against Benjamin Netanyahu's government. Sekunder Karmani is Channel 4 News foreign correspondent. Sekunder Karmani, first of all, Ronen Bar, who's been sacked by Netanyahu. Who is he and why did Netanyahu want to sack him?
So Ronen Bar is the head of the Shin Bet intelligence service. That's Israel's domestic intelligence service. So a very important and very influential and powerful figure. He's also been involved in the hostage negotiation process. During that process, he had reportedly as well, clashed with Prime Minister Netanyahu, with the consensus being that Ronen Bar and others from the security establishment were more in favor of a deal earlier on than Netanyahu was. There has, of course, been criticism of Ronen Bar for failing to prevent the October 7th attacks, and he had indicated previously that he would step down after a number of investigations he was overseeing had been completed. One of those investigations, many suspect, is what's really behind the reason that Netanyahu wants to oust him now. And that's because it's an investigation that the Shin Bet has launched into a number of Netanyahu's aides for allegedly taking money from Qatar. And that's what many people here suspect is behind the dismissal. Netanyahu is also trying to dismiss, it seems, the Attorney General, another person who he has clashed with. And so protesters here and many in Israel see Netanyahu and fear that he's taking the country towards autocracy. Netanyahu, for his part, is used kind of language reminiscent of President Trump in America, railing against what he's termed as a leftist deep state trying to thwart his efforts.
So there have been protests. Where does this go? To the courts? To the streets?
Well, the protest movement seems to be growing. There's a momentum behind it. I think we're likely to certainly see more protests on the streets. We saw yesterday a senior opposition politician taking part in those protests, pushed to the ground actually by police whilst he was trying to assist another protester who was being shoved by them. But at the same time, it's not clear whether there's a kind of critical mass that's been reached, certainly yet, for the street power to have that much effect. In 2023, when Netanyahu sacked his then defense minister amidst a very controversial judicial reform bill or series of bills, well, then, you know, we saw in excess of 100,000 mm-hmm. people out on the streets. We're not seeing that many people out yet. And yes, as you suggest, there will also be legal challenges, but the government has a stable majority. It's also trying to pass legislation that would give it further power over the judiciary as well.
And the resumption of the airstrikes on Gaza, what targets are left in all that rubble?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's heartbreaking to see the images coming out of Gaza. People there had, you know, around 2 months of a brief reprieve. Now trying to process the awful trauma of being thrust back into the chaos of the conflict. you know, every day, every night, the death toll rises. More than 700 Palestinians have reported to have been killed so far, you know, a significant number of them children. The Israeli military also say that, you know, a number of senior Hamas officials are amongst those who have been killed. But there's been widespread condemnation and concern issued by human rights groups, for example, about the number of civilian casualties. Israel had already at the beginning of the month blocked all humanitarian aid going into Gaza. And if you remember, this was the ceasefire that was signed in January. It was meant to progress beyond a first stage, which saw around 33 hostages released and quite a few Palestinian detainees released in exchange. It was meant to progress to a second phase where all the remaining hostages would have been released and a permanent end to the war would have been negotiated. Israel backed away from those negotiations. It denies that, but that's the wide consensus, that it was Israel who was reluctant to engage in that. Speaking to politicians here, it's because, frankly, that there's always fundamentally been a discord within Israel where many here don't want to see Hamas remain in power in Gaza. And we saw during that first ceasefire period that they very much remained the dominant force on the ground in Gaza, despite the kind of year and a half of ferocious assault by Israel.
Sukunder Kamani, foreign correspondent with Channel 4 News. Thank you.